Okay, one of the highlight of the parsha, the highlight of Sefer Shemais, is Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the fact that Klal Yisrael, after being in Mitzrayim for so many years, left with great haste, Yishkipazayim. They left with great, in a big rush. They asked us so long, 210 years. You talk about 5,000 years, 210 is not so much. When you talk about people actually living in Mitzrayim, they're there for a very long time. And then when they leave, they have to leave in a big rush. The Torah tells us that the fact that we went out in a rush, a big hurry, is a very important thing for us to remember. When we have a mitzvah, the Yinyan Karban Pesach, the pasuk says, Kacha Tzeich Lo Aisai. This is how you should eat it. Vasnechem Chagurim, Nalechem Baraglechem, Nakelchem Biyetchem. There's a commandment to eat it, at least in Mitzrayim, certainly, to eat it dafka b'chipazayin, dafka in this big rush, that you should behave in a manner that you're in a rush. That's how you're going out of Mitzrayim, and that's the way that the Korban Pesach has to be. Later in Parshas Emor, I believe also, when there's a mitzvah of Pesach, the pasuk reiterates the fact that you should remember that you went out of Mitzrayim in a rush. So this idea of leaving in a rush, why it's so important, needs a hesber. I mean, it's nice that they left in a rush, but why make such a big fuss out of the fact that they rushed when they left Mitzrayim? There's an Arizal, a well-known Arizal, that lo yachlu lismameya. It says in the pasuk that they couldn't wait. Why couldn't they wait? So there's an Arizal that says that had they waited, they would have fallen into the 50th Shahar Tumah, and then there would have been no Yeshua. And therefore, lo yachlu lismameya. They couldn't wait. They had to leave at the time they left. They couldn't wait at all. So there are two problems with this Arizal. One problem is, like, who planned this thing out? Why was it set up this way that they should leave at the very last minute? Like, if they're falling into the lowest Shahar Tumah, so you could arrange everything for a week earlier. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who brought the Arva and the Chayshach and the Rakas Lucharis. So he could have done it a week earlier, a day earlier. It had to be that it was the last minute. There was another Yahweh's Mamea. But an even more difficult Kasha is, what is Arizal talking about? If they couldn't wait, they'll fall into the Shah Adnon. What was it like in Mitzrayim on the night of Makas Bechairis? The night of Makas Bechairis, there's no yet Tahara of Avaydis Arab. The night of Makas Bechairis was a lot of fun. It was a pleasant night for Jews in Mitzrayim. For the Mitzrayim, it wasn't fun, but for the Jews, it was an enjoyable evening. You know, all Mitzrayim was suffering Makas Bechairis, and the Yidden was safe, and they were having a Seder. The Kedusha HaTaira. There's nothing. But they would have stayed Leil Makas Bechairis another minute, they would have fallen into the Shara, into the 90th, into the 50th Shara Summa. What are you talking about? My kids had a song, one of the Pesach tapes. The tapes in Hebrew. So the refrain on the song is, Parai the pajamas be'emtza halayla. That's the part of the, you know, the nigger. Parai the pajamas be'emtza halayla. Never heard the song. I have concerts. But, you know, that's what it was. It was parai the pajamas be'emtza halayla. It was just, it was fun. It was a funny thing. I mean, you know, if you have in Yerushalayim, you see all the Yerushalmi kids when they're davening. They're all running around outside with the little yarmulkes. And so that's what it was like the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim were crying, and Paru was running through looking for Moshe. And all of the Yiddish kids were outside, all laughing at him and running after him. And so what did David say? If they were to stay one more minute, they would have fallen into the 50th Shahar Tumah. It doesn't make any sense at all. They already weren't working for 10 months. The Zohar of Mitzrayim wasn't enticing to them anymore. They were having a great time. What was the problem? If they would have stayed one more minute on the night of Makas Bechairis, on the night where they brought the Korban Pesach, and they ate matzah, they had a seder. So the Arizal needs a Hesber. The Nakuda of the Hesber lies in the Yisayit that the first Yisayit in the Pachad Yitzchak on Pesach. Beginning of the Sefer, he explains what Chippazon is, what it means to be in a rush. And he explains in very eloquent terms that there are two types of rushing. If you look at the Lashon there, the language is poetic, but it needs a practical hesber. What he says basically is that there are two types of rushing. When people rush, people are in a hurry. You all know what it means to be in a hurry, to be in a rush. He says there are two types. One type is the typical rushing. What he says, what happens is, ha-ratzayim le-chetzet t'sazman. There are things you want to accomplish, not enough time. So the being that there's things that you want, the ratzon is leichet, it says man, it puts pressure on the time. And then you're in a rush. You want to do a certain number of things. And Shabbos is early and you're planning to do who knows how many things. So you end up being in a rush. You go into a store, Erev Shabbos. So the store owner, usually in a grocery, and Erev Shabbos is going wild. There's not a time to have a shmooze with him. Because he's in a rush, you know, there are a certain number of customers, and it's only a certain amount of time. Nobody should walk out, so he's rushing. That's the typical rushing that we suffer from. There's a second type of rushing, which is a higher level of rushing. There are times that people rush not because they don't have enough time, but because the thing that they want to do is more important than time. L'mayla b'nazman. The thing that they're eager to do is just more important than time. They want to get it done. They have enough time to wait. But they have to get the thing done. Because the thing is important to them. The thing that they're trying to accomplish is important. If I had to bring these words down to a practical level, the example would be you have a supermarket. You see the owner is running, rushing, right? Why? It's Erev Shabbos. Crowded. He wants everyone to be taken care of. That's a typical rush. What happens if you have a time at the same grocery? It's not crowded. It's the middle of the day, and a very hush of a person comes in. And the president is visiting, so he comes in to the grocery, whatever it is he wants to buy. So the owner will be a zariz. He's going to rush to take care of him. He'll make sure he's taken care of properly. He'll hurry, right? Why is he rushing? Not rushing because he's fatomo and because he doesn't have enough time. He has enough time, plenty of time. But he doesn't want to keep the person waiting. It's very important to him that what's happening should take place. If something is very important to you, then you will hurry up to take care of it. So it's a different type of rushing. It's not a rushing because you're out of time. It's a rushing because the thing you want to accomplish is more important than time. You know, sometimes you go to shul. You see people rushing to shul. So you have a person who rushes to shul. Why? He's late. He's late. So he's rushing. If he wouldn't be late, he wouldn't rush. He'd walk calmly. But since he's late, and he doesn't have enough time to daven. So he's in a rush. So that's a typical rush. Now, if you go on time, some people even, you know, just a few minutes late, and they're scrolling to shul because that is nothing to rush for. Now, if that Shabbos of that person is making a marrying off his first kid in shul, so now when he walks to shul, he walks in a rush. Why is he walking in a rush? Not because he's not because he doesn't have enough time. Because the thing he's going for is very important to him. So it's for my woman Asman. He's not. He doesn't want to be limited by time. He wants to get there. That's a different type. That's a different idea of rush. When the Yidden were leaving Mitzrayim, they weren't in a rush because they didn't have enough time. It was limited. You know, Paris said leave. So, what's he going to do if you take your time? You can take your time. Make sure Ben said wait till the morning. They waited till the morning. It wasn't the first type of rush. The chippazon of Yitzias Mitzrayim was that the Yidden saw that they were now going to go out become Uma, Klal Yisrael, and go with the Makabal, the Torah, and become Klal Yisrael was born the night of Yitzis Mitzrayim, the night of Makas Bechayrus is the birth of Klal Yisrael. The Chippazayim was not a Chippazayim because they didn't have time. It was a Chippazayim because what they were doing was very important to them. If the Rabbi Yisrael is saying that you can leave, you can get out, you'll become an Am Hashem, you'll become an Am HaNivchar, so that caught their imagination, that caught their mind. They became Klal Yisrael. So they went out to Chippazayim. It's something to remember. The Chippazayim with which they went out of Mitzrayim. Then Rizal says that they didn't leave the Chippazayim, Vayachlu Ismameya. Had they been Mismameya, they would have fallen to the Sharitum. Hashem. Had Klal Yisrael, after all they went, all the Shibra Mitzrayim and the Makis, and now it's time to leave. If they were going to take their time, the stroll out of Mitzrayim, so that would have pushed them into the Shari Tumah. That would have shown a lack of appreciation for the thing that they're leaving for. They're leaving now to become Klal Yisrael. They have to rush to become Klal Yisrael. They have to hurry to be able to do it. Something that they have to be eager to do. So the Chippazayim, there's a Chippazayim Tatzah, a low, simple Chippazayim when you're in a rush. And then there's a Chippazayim Yilah, where the Chippazayim is the purpose. When you're in a rush because you don't have enough time, the purpose isn't to rush, the purpose is to accomplish what you have to do. Chippazayim Yilah, the Chippazayim itself, is purposeful. Because the Chippazayim, a person has to go and do it. The Chippazayim, a person, if it's something good, you do it with Chippazayim. Baking matzahs has to be done with Chippazayim. It has to be done quickly. Why do we bake matzahs quickly? Because we don't have enough time. Because it's a zecher to this Chippazayim of rushing to accomplish. The din of Zvizim Magdim LeMitzvahs, one of the places we learn it from is V'shamartem Es HaMatzahs. So we dash in Shmartem Es HaMatzahs, should say Matzahs Tishmeru. Shmartem Es HaMatzahs, the Gemara dash in Shmartem Es HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah Shebaliyot Chal Tach Mitzvah. If the mitzvah comes your way, you've got to rush to be able to do. What type of rushing is that? What type of rush is that? Why are you supposed to rush to do a mitzvah? Because you don't have time. You don't rush. Rushing, it comes the day you have a mitzvah of lulav, so you're supposed to get up early. As soon as it's Netzach Hamla, you take the lulav. Why? Because you don't have enough time. You have enough time. You can take the lulav in the afternoon. You can take the lulav 5 minutes before Shkia. Plenty of time. So the reason Magdima LaMitzvah shows that the mitzvah for my woman as man. You have plenty of time. But the mitzvah is more important to you than the time. So the reason Magdima LaMitzvah is a statement that the mitzvah is more important to you than this man. And that's the Chippazon of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's the Chippazon of Zvizu Magdim LaMitzvahs. And that's the Chippazon with which Klal Yisrael was born. Yidden are supposed to be in a rush. Yidden are supposed to be Zvizu. We are supposed to be doing things that are more important than the man. And that's why the birth of Klal Yisrael is an idea of the Chippazon Yitzias Mitzrayim. The lesson is that Zman has to be subservient to the things you do. The first mitzvah in this week's parasha is the mitzvah of Achaydish Hazel Lachem, Rosh Chodashim, which Achaydish Hazel Rosh Chodashim, Rashi in Bereishis, you know, says that Torah should really start from here. The first thing. So Rav Parham in his shmuz on this parasha and by the Torah Lamelat has a shmuz on Achaydish Hazel Lachem Rosh Chodashim, which is the words of the Sipparnei. Achaydish Hazel Lachem. Sipparnei teaches Achaydish Hazel Lachem. Zman is Masor Lachem. Kadosh Baruch Hu says Zman is given over to you. Time is given to you. Do with it the mitzvahs of the Torah. Do with it what you're supposed to be doing. I'm giving you Klal Yisrael Achaydish Hazel Lachem. Zman is Masor B'yetcha. The use of time is the challenge of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Rapam Shmuz on Achaydish Hazel Lachem and Rav Hudner Shmuz on Chippazayim are one and the same. It's the same idea. It's the idea that Klal Yisrael at their birth are given a command. You want to be Avdei Hashem, you have to know that mitzvahs have to come before Zman. That what a person has to take Zman in his hand, he has to control Zman, and Zman has to not control him. Rav Palm used to say that it's not that time is money, but money is time. If time is money means money is the most important thing. So time is money, don't waste my time, it's money. And the Torah says, no, money is time. I'm going to waste time pursuing money. Money is time to the extent that that a person has the option. A person shouldn't waste his time on other things. So what comes out is that Sai, the first mitzvah of the Torah, and Sai, the whole concept of Chippazon, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the whole remez of Matzah, is a remez of Zman, of the proper use of Zman, the proper use of time. And the fact is that that's the challenge of a person's life. The challenge of a person's life is to be able to use time. Everyone's given a certain amount of time in this world. It's not a whole lot of time, even though at the moment it feels like it. But, you know, Mashahoyo Shayya, wherever you walk, people have walked before you and they're buried, and Yechidim will remember them. What matters in a person's life is what he does with his time. And managing time is the challenge of a Frumiyid. A Frumiyid is always challenged. You always have deadlines. You have a deadline of Shabbos, you have a deadline of Shkia, you have a deadline of night, whatever color of night you pick. But there's man, and everything is man. Everything we do is man. You don't have freedom from deadlines. Yiddishkeit is deadlines. A person has time where he works, a person has time where he davens, a person has time. You know, the guy Chevelle, it's not that way. A person takes his career, and there's nothing else. Some people with career take family too, but, you know, you take a person whose only goal in the life is to be a good lawyer, a good businessman, so he's still rushing. But he doesn't have the deadlines that a Frumi yet has. The difference between a Frumi existence and a non-Frumi existence, it's deadlines of Zman. Deadlines of a time to daven, a time to learn, a time to come to Shabbos, to come to Yom Tov. That's what Fokai is. It's for that reason that managing time is the place where the Yetzer Hara gets us. It seems that even people who openly state that their goal, and I don't mean that anybody's lying, they state openly the emes, that their goal is to be at a certain place at a certain time. They can say, that their goal is to be in yeshiva at 9:30 or 9:45 or whatever it is. But it becomes a big challenge because the Yetzer Hara throws things in the way. And if you actually keep track on a piece of paper, you see that the person's not able to accomplish it. A person who's makabel to be on time for brachas every day, and then his things are thrown in his way. And he means it. But the Yetzer Hara throws things in a person's way all the time. And therefore, managing time is the avoda, certainly the avoda of a ben Torah, to whom time is important. It's the avoda from Kait Bechlau. I'd like to mention to you just a few nekudas regarding planning time. I know that for many of you, the next 2 weeks are different than what you're out of college. The first thing you want when you have out of college is to relax. I have to study. But the fact is that a person who knows, who has the right idea of what the right thing to do is capable of making use of time in a way that gives them a seatbook that relaxing doesn't. The most important thing you have to know about time is that you have to plan ahead. The Yetzer Hara is very good at thwarting people who don't plan. If you don't plan, it's not going to work. A person walks in, he says, you know what, I'm college, I'm going to learn. He doesn't have specific plans about what to learn, or where to learn, or when to learn. Then it's a lost case. Without planning, it doesn't work. And the reason is very simple. Every one of us, everything we do is controlled by either what we call the head or the heart. either the mind or the heart. The heart is the emotion, the flow. The makom of the Yetzer Tov is the brain, thinking. That's the place where the Yetzer Tov has a greater shlita. The makom of the Yetzer Hara is the lev. That doesn't mean the lev never tells you to do a good thing, but the place where the Yetzer Hara has a bigger shlita is on your heart, on the flow of things, on the emotion. The lev has tivus. The lev is it's a part of the personality which is which wants other things. Planning is a function of the brain. If you plan, it works. If you don't plan, it doesn't work. You know, if a person wants to plan, you know, if you want to plan an event, the guy gets engaged, he's got to get married, so his suddenly the parents, the in-law, they need 3-4 months to plan a wedding. They need 3-4 months to plan a wedding. You can plan a wedding in 2 weeks. They have to find a hall that'll take you, but as far as what you have to do. But they want to make sure that everything is just so, so they need to plan a lot. They go meshuga from planning, you know, these types of things. So they start to plan all the things that nobody cares about. The color of the tablecloth, and the colors of the, you know, the napkins, and other things which are not worth repeating that they planned for a wedding. You know, the type of napkins in the toilet. Did you ever see that in a wedding? You know, if you go to a chasna, they have in the bathroom monogrammed napkins. The nebuch of it is not the napkin, the waste of money, that's not the issue. But somebody cared enough to think about it and to plan that when people go to the bathroom that they should have monogrammed napkins. That's, you know what that is? You know what a sad state of, you know, you think it comes from the woolly bin, you know. I'm sorry, I apologize if anybody here, you know. But, you know, so people, it's like somebody. It's one thing to see it there, you know, if it comes automatically is one thing, but that someone sat down and thought about this type of thing, it's been insane. I was at a wedding once where they had two white doves by the head table. It's one thing to have two white doves. It's another thing to think about people beforehand, you know, racking their brains till they came to the idea of having white doves by the, you know, well, what in the world went through their mind that they thought about it? But you see, everything is in what you plan. That's what's important to you. And there are people to whom it's important that the people should remember at their wedding they had white doves. You see, I remember. It's not a praise. I don't think I praise that now. But the point is that you plan what you plan, you can get what you want if you plan. It's important to you to have this type of paper. You can plan, you can get everything. But it's all totally in planning. But you have to plan. Somebody once asked the Kutzke, what's a chassid? So the Kutzke said, somebody who plans to be a chassid. And he said, what do you mean? Who doesn't plan to be a chassid? He said, the only person that doesn't plan to be a chassid is someone who thinks he's a chassid. He's not planning to be a chassid. So he will never be a chassid. It's a very, very strong. You should know that if the Kutzke would have been a psychologist, he would have conquered everything. He understood you in mind. So who could be a tzaddik? Someone who plans to be a tzaddik. Who doesn't plan to be a tzaddik? The person who thinks he's a tzaddik already. He's not planning to be a tzaddik, so, you know. It's the same thing. So who can be a masmid? Who can be a bentayra? Who can accomplish? Someone who plans to accomplish. If you think you're already accomplished, then you don't plan. Without planning, nothing happens. It's a harash shlita if you don't plan. A person always has to plan. And it's true for every small detail of Avodas Hashem. You'll see, if you'll plan, planning means setting up what to learn, thinking about what to learn, thinking about whom to learn, where to learn, you'll see that the learning will come much easier and there'll be a big seepooking. If you have more time, just to say, yeah, I'll learn more, that's not going to do anything. But if there's a specific plan, a mahalo, then it works. Yes, someone, if he's going to chazer, of course he's going to chazer. When? I don't know, he'll chazer. Not going to chazer. Well, people take mishnayis, lili nishmas. You ever saw that? They give out mishnayis, lili nishmas, someone to make a shloshim suda. So you always wonder, if there's ever a shloshim suda where they really finish Yishin Sidrei Mishnah. Because most people who are makabel, they really need to do it. But they, unfortunately, experience has it that except for those who are very close, many, many people don't do it. Why? They have no plan of when to learn the Mishnayos. They go, don't take Mishnayos. What are they going to do? You know, whenever. Whatever you're going to do whenever, you're not going to do. If you want to do, you have to plan when you're going to do it. If you look to go, someone go around Mishnayos, they give you Mishnayos to do. You decide, yeah, you have a whole month. You'll do a Mishnah every night after supper, every morning after Shacharis, whatever. Of course you'll finish. But you just plan to do it, then you'll never do it. But that's not planning. Planning requires a plan. You'll see that if you're going to plan, the things you want to do, I'm not even talking about bigger and better things. The things you plan to do, if you're going to plan them, then you'll be successful at accomplishing. If it's not planned, then you won't be successful at accomplishing. You'll come to it, and you'll be missing. You'll be missing whatever you need. The second nekuda in using time, to borrow a phrase, don't sweat the small stuff. Expression which you may or may not be familiar with in the secular world. Don't sweat the small stuff means don't waste your energy over things that don't really matter. There are a lot of things that are not so important that people end up spending a lot of time on. In a time management class, an instructor once came in. And he brought he had like a show, right? Except I'm not doing it, I'm just telling you. So he had stones, and he had pebbles, and he had sand. So he took one container, first he put in some sand, and then he put in some pebbles, and then he put in the stones. There's not enough room for the stones. So it didn't fit. He took a second container, he tried it again. He put in the stones. And then he put in the pebbles. And then he put in the sand. And it worked. So what's the moral of that? What's the lesson? How to put sand, you know, how to play in the sandbox. He said, no, the lesson is that if you want things to fit your time, you have to take the big things first. If you're going to start with the sand, they're little things, they're a little important. If you're going to start being busy with the little things, you'll never have time for the big things. First, you have to take the big things that are important to you. The things that are important to you. And you have to set up the time that you do it. Then the pebbles are things a little less important. So you work your way around the big things. And the sand, you work your way around that. You know, in the Goyish world, the big thing, unfortunately, the Yiddish world, some places too, the big thing is to find time to spend with your kids. They don't have time to spend with their kids. They're busy. Busy usually with making money. Yeah, time. If they would first put in the big things, have a block of time they spend with their kids, and then, you know, they have an appointment after this, if they're working around it, then they can do it. But if the small things catch you, then so what the Eitz Hara does is you walk in the morning, and the first thing is that a bunch of small things, you'll see, if you stop and think about it, you'll see all the small things that you have to take care of. You know, whatever time you start your Seder, as soon as you sit down, you remember, you have to call to arrange a ride to a wedding, you have to call to make sure that somebody will be a certain place at a certain time, you have to pick things up at the clear, whatever it is, you remember right away. Now those are the small things, those are things which really, you should be fitting around the big things, you have the big things you have to do. And the small things you have to fit in at the minute here, the minute there, on the way, not on the way. It's all it does. It's in the morning when you're getting in the car on the way to yeshiva, you remember, you have to pick things up in the cleaners, and you have to go into the grocery, you have to pick something up, and it's all it does this all the time. Puts all the small things in your way. And then when you want to accomplish all of them before you get to yeshiva, you end up late. Well, really what should be is you have your big thing, your block of time. The other things you could accomplish, you can accomplish it a little here, a little there. You don't have to run out to do it right away. So this is the second akuda. If you want to use time properly, then you don't sweat the small stuff. That means you don't get all nervous about the little things. Sweating the small stuff destroys people. At home, people get aggravated over small things that don't really matter. For what reason? There are big things that are more important. You get caught up in small things. The Stipler writes in Chayei Olam that the human being, whatever he's concerned about, fills him up. This is Lashem, the Mali Yisai. Whatever you're going to worry about, it fills you up. Oh, you forgot to get a suit of the cleaner. It's going to fill you up. It's a little thing. It's a small thing. If you call somebody, we'll say that it becomes very important to call. I know because it happens to me. It's very important to call. And really, it's not so important. But when you need it, Mimali, it fills the person. The person has to have a sense of what is and what's not. What belongs and what doesn't belong. So if you want to use your time right, you've got to master the trait of not sweating over the small things in life. Not to get aggravated over them, not to get caught up in them, not to make an emergency out of them. Not everything is an emergency. See, you walk into the house, you know, I'm sure that when you walk into the house sometimes, whatever the members of your family that are home, there are times you walk in and they're all caught up in something. And you know, from the outside, it's not a big deal. It's not such a big deal. There must be times it is a big deal, but plenty of times. When you're on the outside, that's a big deal. What's the big deal? It'll go this way, it'll go that way, it'll be taken care of, it won't be taken care of. But we all get caught up in this. I get caught up in this. And get caught up in the little things that can wait. And that's the need of the Yetzer. The third and the last nakuda, if you want to be successful, using your time right, finding the Yetzer. The third one is the hardest one. You could plan, and you could get the idea of not worrying about the small stuff. The third thing is that you have to talk to the Yetzer Hara. You have to talk to him. That means that there's no time in your life when you're not going to be drawn away by something. Whatever you're doing that's worthwhile, the Yetzer Hara is going to pull you away. It's always going to try to drag you away from it. You have to be able to talk to the Yetzer Hara, to be able to tell the Yetzer Hara, it's the Yetzer Hara talking. The Yetzer Hara talking. The person who's misupik about what to do, very often if you'll ask yourself, who's telling me what? The Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer type. But become clear what the right way to go is. Not every time, but many, many times. The problem is that we don't like to recognize things that way. Because if you talk to the Yetzer Hara, it's like not normal. You know, who are you talking to? If you talk to the Yetzer Hara, it's like you believe he really exists. But he does. But he does. A person has got to be able to talk to the Yetzer Hara and say, hey, you ain't going to get me this time. You're not going to get me this time. You know, Gemara says, Hog Abacham in Novel Zu. If you meet this Menovel, the Menovel is the Yetzer Hara, Moshchei the Beis HaMedrash. So shlap him into the Beis HaMedrash. So I once heard from a Meshgiach, and he said, you wonder why there's so much Batal in the Beis HaMedrash? Everyone's bringing the Yetzer Hara in the Beis HaMedrash. But Moshchei the Beis HaMedrash means you got to walk with him into the Beis HaMedrash. It means you got to know that you're walking in with him. It's no accident that every day when you walk into the Beis HaMedrash, it's something comes up that interferes with you starting, with you getting started. Yetzer Hara is very resourceful. He has a budget, you know, that's no limit. He can do whatever he wants. You have to be able to talk to the Yetzer Hara. A person has to be able to say, this is the Yetzer Hara telling me to do it. Now let me tell you why this is the hardest thing to do. Let's say you'll say, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to talk to the Yetzer Hara. I won't do it so loud. I won't anybody see. I'll talk to the Yetzer Hara. You know why you can't do it? So you're going to see. You're going to tell the Yetzer Hara, this is the Yetzer Hara talking. And half the time, you're going to end up doing what the Yetzer Hara wants you to do anyway. You'll see. If you're good, half the time you'll end up doing what the Yetzer Hara wants you to do. So after a while, it becomes very painful to do that. You know, it's like an exercise in futility. It's very painful to say, this is the Yetzer Hara talking. They're not supposed to solve the problem, right? It doesn't really solve the problem. Plenty of times you'll say, you're sitting and learning, you have to make this phone call and say, this is the Yetzer Hara talking, it's not going to be the Yetzer Hara talking. You're going to get up and do it anyway. Because the Yetzer Hara is pretty powerful, you know, he's part of you. But if you'll train yourself slowly, you'll see your enemy. You'll see him. You'll meet him. You'll know the way he works. And eventually, the fact that it's Mitzrayim, that you're listening to him, will get you to not listen to him every time. It's an avodah. It takes work. But the work is something that's required. Now, what you can do, if you're ashamed to talk to yourself, that it's the Yetzirah, you can tell your Chavrusa. Your Chavrusa wants to get up. You can tell him it's the Yetzirah talking. There's no way to get your Chavrusa to not like you any more than to do that. Huh? Imagine, you have a Chavrusa, you know, you want him to buckle up. Say, this is the Yetzirah talking. You know, he's really going to get under his skin. You know why you're really going to get under his skin? Because it's true. If you tell someone something that's not true, it doesn't bother him. Only if you tell someone something that's true. You should notice that. If someone tells you something about yourself and it bothers you, it means it's true. Now, if someone goes to Michael Jordan and tells him, you don't know how to play ball, you stink. It's not going to bother him. It's going to bother him to fit, right? Now, if someone goes to him and says, you know, you're dumb, you have a low IQ, he's going to get enraged, you get very angry. So why do they tell him he's a rat and ball player? It won't bother him. Same thing is true about you. It's true about you, you know. The fact is that we all have a battle. We all have to fight. Now, if you're willing to fight, then you can fight. If you're not willing to fight, so then you can't fight. But you have to at least recognize. Recognize what who's telling you to do what. B'chipazayin yatzasam mimitzrayim. We have to do things b'chipazayin. We have to rush into davening b'chipazayin. We have to rush into learning b'chipazayin. We have to rush to do the things that we're supposed to be doing b'chipazayin, not because we're late, but because it's something that's important to us. This is the lesson of Parshas Vay from two angles. I certainly hope that you're going to take the opportunity that you have to train yourself time management, to manage time properly. Have a good Shabbat.